Marsha Brokancho and Anna DeBlantis.
Yes.
Another day. Broadcast insolence.
I get the sense that Omarosa used the same fact checker as Sean Spicer for her new book, outing the Trump White House. Literally, there's a barrage of people quoted in the book and also featured in the book that are now saying, she never even called me, and I never said that. I never heard that. That didn't happen. Frank Luntz, one of them, you know, the famous pollster who's on all the CNNs and the MSNBCs.
He's got the weird hair situation going,
But he's a reliable pollster. Uh-huh. He's saying, she never contacted me. I never heard the N-word, but she has on page 149, I'm featured as hearing the N-word, reporting it to someone. Never happened.
Okay.
So,
you know,
make it stuff
I would like to point out something here. That I happen to disagree with Donald Trump on his position on race relations, and I think he's a fire starter, and he's making the situation worse, not better. But, you know, if you are going to bring people into the White House to deal with race relations, Omarosa Manigault Newman is the last human being on earth you should bring in to do anything into the White House. The fact that he brought her into the White House after she was a villain on reality television.
I know.
Right? I mean, that's what she was known for. She was just, it would be like the next president, President Kanye West or whoever it's going to be next time around, if we're going to go down this road, bringing in that Corinne Olympios.
Oh, right. From
The
Bachelor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As his advisor to young babes.
Or gender affairs or something.
Yes.
Who knows?
Right. Women's rights.
Women's rights council.
Yeah. If you just want to kind of stop, sometimes it's hard to take account of what has happened here. But if you stop and just kind of look back at some of the things that have happened.
These are my local partners.
Excuse us.
You think you start hearing things.
Yeah, you do. If you look back, you start to hear things, and that's not good. But if you look back, you start to think to yourself, my God, there were some weird moments in here, and choosing Omarosa to be in a sub-cabinet level? I mean, she was making $200,000 a year at the White House.
Right, senior...
Advisor to the president.
Public affairs kind of thing.
Yeah.
She was the most senior African-American on his staff.
On his staff, not in the cabinet, because obviously
That's right. Others. But she was, brought there. And remember, she was supposed to be a consultant on racial affairs as well. And you would think if she was hearing all these things about him using the N-word and being racist, that isn't a position she'd even have accepted.
You never hear Ben Carson's name anymore. You know, you wonder, what is he doing? Like, what's going on over there at Health and Human Services or whatever he's doing? Housing, right? HUD.
Yeah.
Right? He's the HUD guy?
Mm-hmm.
Housing and Urban Development. What goes on there?
I don't know. You really don't hear about him. He's been...
Are they building things? Are they not building things? What are they doing?
I can tell you there's been no news out of that agency.
Yeah, what is that?
No, there's been no news out of that agency. So, but I'm assuming he's working hard.
Have we checked to make sure he's still in charge?
We checked to make sure he's even there. I mean, I'll
check the White House, like the releases, just to make sure it wasn't buried on one of these really busy news days.
He does, he's one of those guys who, obviously, he's a brain surgeon, so he's a brilliant guy, but everything is so deliberate with him, which is what you want out of your brain surgeons. You don't see it a lot with politicians, but you definitely, everything's a little slower and just very deliberate. I just want to know if he's napping. That's what I would like to know. If you open up the door and you look inside and you go, Secretary?
Yeah. So, there's an article here from yesterday where he was touring Denver housing.
There you go. He's doing something.
And,
we never hear about
him. Public-private partnerships about addressing the housing crunch. So he's still out there.
The only secretaries you hear about now that what's-his-face is gone, the one that had to leave.
Rex Tillerson?
No.
The
guy that they finally had to fire after accept the resignation of
the EPA.
The EPA guy
possible decision
he made was one towards scandal. There wasn't even one that was like a good, even like the picking of the toilet paper had a scandalous tinge to it. So they finally
the conference
let him go.
Table. Everything. Everything.
The only people you hear about Betsy DeVos when her if her
yacht
gets away from its mooring.
Or she registers it in an international under an international flag, a different country, so that she doesn't have to pay all the taxes.
You did hear about her today, though. They're trying to reverse an Obama era initiative. I know that's. I should just put that on one of the F keys on my keyboard. That would penalize poorly performing. That it would pull federal funds from poorly performing for-profit schools. She would like poorly performing for-profit schools to continue to be funded by the government. So, just a little something to think about.
Think about that. Still a petition out there for LeBron James to take over her job and picking up a lot of momentum as education secretary. Yeah, that never happened. Seems to be a lot of public support for it.
Yeah. Why do we, you know, it's like government.
Need a celebrity in every role.
It's life and death. Why don't we just kind of go with people who know what they're doing in these jobs?
Great idea.
Right? I mean, LeBron did this one great thing in this school. He seems to understand what he was doing there, but he had other people helping him. And he does this as a sidelight to his professional basketball career, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing.
It's a great example for others, too. It's wonderful.
Don't take a shot at him. There's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the president wants to go after the guys in the NFL. Michael Steele will join us to talk about this, who are taking a knee. Because both sides are a tactical mistake for, I think, the guys last night who took a knee and then the people who are going to do it over this weekend or whatever, because it just allows the president to have this battering ram to them with, because he's going to win on the issue. He really is, because the majority of Americans are not. Don't think it's appropriate for football players to take a knee during the national anthem, you know, in a private business and blah, 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 blah. You know, they're public figures and for all of those reasons. But then the president goes on to tweet this morning, which, again, it gives him, somehow this helps him by saying that the football players themselves would not be able to define what they're outraged about. I think they actually would.
I think they could.
Whether you agree with them or not is not the issue. He's going down to the simple fact that they can't even define it.
They've made it clear multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know what he wanted to say. I know what he was going for there. Because talk about your dog whistle. That is your ultimate. And as Spike Lee said, it's no longer a dog whistle with him. It's a megaphone. It basically is. I don't think they can talk English very well. I never understand what they're saying anyway. All right. We'll get to Michael Steele, who I don't know if he understands what's going on here either. Who does? But again, why would you hire Omarosa of all the people on earth?
I don't know. Seemed like an odd choice.
Okay. Judy, what's going on in the news at the bottom of the hour?
I understand perfectly why she was hired. A 12-year-old girl among four people wounded today in shootings in Chicago.
Violetta.
Tom Skilling is celebrating 40 years as Chicago's very own. Take a look back as WGN honors Tom Monday on WGN TV News at 9. 40 years.
40 years.
How incredible.
4-0.
He's having a good run.
He's had a good run, and he's good still.
Yeah.
Right.
That is really true, Kevin Powell. Some of us are not having as good of a run.
And might never have.
Right. So
that's a hard run to match.
Right. Some of us might really never make that.
No. It doesn't seem like that much to me.
Yeah.
Well, where are you now?
32.
Judy. Oh.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
32.
Yeah, so 40's right around the corner, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Like
we can only hope.
Like I'm going to make that. Are you kidding me? All right, Michael Steele joins us. He used to run the Republican Party, but they wouldn't have him now.
Nope.
I'll tell you that.
Don't even invite him to all their events. Sometimes you don't get invites, we hear.
Yeah, not only that. I mean, they wouldn't what you doing here, son? Would be a little bit more of what you might run into. Let me ask you a couple questions here. I got to drag you into this because it's just, you know, we were just talking about it. This Omarosa.
Oh, please.
Thing. Well, now she's got this book out, and everybody at the White House says it's just a pack of lies. And some of the people that she quotes are calling up and going, she never called me about that. I never said. Frank Luntz, among them, said, I never heard that. That's not what it is. But then they just ran, CNN just ran that Frontline piece from 2016 where she said, when Donald Trump wins, you're all going to have to to kneel down to him, which is kind of interesting given what's going on now in the NFL. But I mean, of all the, I mean, we talked about this at the time. Of all the people he could put in his cabinet to represent an African-American constituency, Omarosa?
I know.
Well, it says a couple of things. One, it tells you what he thinks of the African-American community, meaning he did not and does not take it seriously, particularly given the number of well-qualified actual black Republicans who he could have chosen for the various positions in the administration, including the one that he made up for her. Number two, it also, I think, says a lot about peas in a pod. These two are cut out of the same cloth. She is his mentee. He's her mentor. And what she said back in the day is what she believed and what she felt. And you know, all of this drama that's now ensuing, to me, is just made up crap. It's doggy poo. It means nothing. You can just wipe it off your shoe and keep moving.
I can never get it fully off my shoe, though. Have you ever noticed that?
It always does seem to linger, doesn't it?
Especially if you've got...
That sounds like a personal problem.
Tennis shoes.
You may need to teach someone about that.
I would argue it's not just peas in a pod. I'm going to use a term that I'm sure you're familiar with, especially being from Maryland. Crabs in a bucket. Which is a term that
is... Well, it is crabs in a bucket, but here's the question I have for Omarosa this morning when I started reading some of her excerpts from her book. I tweeted out when she said that very thing, every critic, every detractor will have to bow down to President Trump. My question to her was, well, does that now include you? And I guess being a racist, because she called the president a racist, wasn't enough to stop her from working for him. So you tell me what your value system is, because your actions clearly define them.
And she obviously didn't like that. She tried to pick a fight with you on Twitter, and you are one of the best people on Twitter I know, and you weren't having it.
Her last response to me was jealous much, and I was sitting there thinking to myself, gotcha.
Jealous much, right.
The best you could come up with.
Yeah, eighth grade.
What's the argument? So, you know, I get the Omarosa selling books. And I'll just put it on the table because no one else will. It would not surprise me if we found out at some period in the near future that Donald Trump and Omarosa have worked this whole thing out, that this book and all this, quote, tell-all is all pre-orchestrated crap that they want on the street, because this is the perfect extraction, perfect distraction right now from everything else of real value and importance that's going on. So, you know, I refuse to play that reindeer game. So.
Well, also, it proves a point and maintains the string of a narrative, a very obvious but unspoken narrative that goes on, I think, here in terms of race relations as it pertains to the Trump White House and Donald Trump personally. You know, they want...
But I tell you what, though... Well, this is nothing to do with race relations. This whole Omarosa thing has nothing to do with race relations. And in fact, if you want to then switch...
It's a minstrel show, is what I'm trying to say. I mean,
Now you're talking. Now you're talking.
Right. That's what I'm saying, is that then they want a minstrel show. I would submit that the White House loves a minstrel show because it sends a message to its core supporters, that of not the core supporters, but the race, like the race people, you know, the racists and the white nationalists and all of that. See, I told you, look at what he did and look what happened here. Mm-hmm. It does that. And now the NFL deal, if I could just pivot into that, the NFL deal is the same thing. The guys were taking a knee. This is, a perfect issue to gin up for the president at this very moment.
Absolutely. Well, so the question was asked a little bit earlier on when I was on MSNBC, and it was, this being the anniversary of Charlottesville, 1 year ago, a young woman died because some racist a-holes decided to act the way they did. And the president had yet to tweet or even make a public official comment about, the events of last year. And my response was, he actually has. He did respond to the events of last year. He responded in a tweet to the NFL. That was his response. And his continual attack at a made-up fake ghost or enemy or whatever you want to call NFL players, demagoguing and demonizing against them is how he deals with race relations and how he categorizes the importance of things that matter to men and women of color. And so, he responded. He responded with a tweet this morning that, again, had nothing to do with anything. And it just, to your very point, is trying to stoke up passions and get people all fired up against the NFL and, you know, against the, you know, football players, instead of paying attention to the individual who's got the torch in his hand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. The economy, though, keeps all these ships afloat here, though, because if the economy were not humming along, this kind of thing I don't think would be as popular. I think a lot of people are looking the other way.
Yeah. Can I address that real quick?
Please.
Can we please get off that hobby horse? I mean, you know what that – I hear more and more people say, well, but the economy is doing well. And so people are – you know what? If I got a check for $1 million, all right, and my son was strung out on drugs, I don't think I'd be less concerned about his being strung out on drugs because I got a $1 million check. If I got a $1 million check and there were people robbing and looting my neighborhood, I don't think I'd be less concerned about that. Now, the response would be, well, you'd move. But that doesn't solve the problem. And the fact of the matter is the economy is great. That's wonderful. Okay. It's a Barack Obama, Donald Trump, a yippee-ki-yay kind of day. Got it. But that does not address the underlying fundamental corrosion that is spewed forth by this administration and its ilk every single day, that, you know, we're now supposed to feel good about that because we got a tax cut. We're supposed to feel better about that because, oh, we got a Supreme Court justice we like. That's not what this proposition should be about. And I just wish people would just stop pretending that all is right with the world. And yes, we can dumb down what Donald Trump does because it's just theater. It's just reality TV. And it doesn't matter. It does matter. Yeah, and
I agree
with you
there.
What doesn't matter is that the economy is doing well when you're dealing with all these things that are corroding it. So yeah. That's just my little hobby horse. Sorry.
Thank you. Well, when the economy goes through its next natural cycle, whenever that happens to be, we'll still be left with all of the damage that has been done here. And we won't be able to count our money while we're doing it. And that's going to be a real issue. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Michael Steele.
You got it, my friend. Take care, Anna. Right. Take care.
Bye, Talk Michael. Have
right.
a good weekend.
All right, guys.
Bro Concho with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN. Renato Mariotti is with us.
Thank God he's here.
An attorney here in Chicago and a regular contributor to the CNN and the N. He's going to be on Cuomo Primetime tonight with that Chris Cuomo, who literally looks like he just got done working out every time he looks into the camera. He's got
the veins in his neck are always very pronounced.
I would like to see him wearing one of those weight belts, you know, kind of a thing. I mean, he's a big dude.
He's bigger than I am. Tall guy, and I was actually, I saw Chris this week, and yeah, he's taller than me, bigger than me, and he's very aggressive.
Yeah,
he's always, even when he's talking to me, I'm literally a CNN employee. I'm a legal analyst there, and he's cross-examining me like he's, you know, like I'm a defendant in a trial or something.
He's very intense.
Keeps you on your toes.
He's an intense dude.
Very intense. He looks at you with that intensity, and like, okay.
Whatever you want.
Yeah. I just want to know what else goes on there. All right, and he's... And he's one of those guys, you know, that CNN, they got the thing where they can wear just a black T-shirt. You know, that all their anchors have to just be able to fit into a black T-shirt and look good in it.
When they're in the field.
When they're in the field.
Right.
Yeah, not on set.
Yeah.
It's a little awkward on set.
Yeah.
All the guys have got to do that, right?
Sure, hurricane coverage,
sure,
severe
whatever.
Weather, when they're out there in the field, you got to put the black T-shirt.
They do not have that requirement for legal analysts.
Oh.
Yes. I'm lucky.
Right.
Jeff Toobin, we don't want to see him in a black T-shirt.
Although we did see him on the street. He was up in New Hampshire or something running after Rudy Giuliani with his crooked glasses. All right, let's talk about what happened in Manafort today, because I think a lot of people are confused. The judge stopped. Everything stopped. Mm-hmm. They went into a behind-the-scenes meeting, essentially, right? And do we have any idea what... Then they just picked up and no comment about what happened.
There's very little that was said. There's a couple things that were said. One was, it sort of talked about counsel table and what's on counsel table. And what counsel table is that there's tables that the attorneys sit at in the middle of the courtroom. You may have seen them on TV shows about trials. Mm-hmm. They do actually exist. There was some comment about that. And then there's also a comment about discussing matters outside of the courtroom. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it appears that there was some issue with a juror, perhaps a courtroom security officer, or those gentlemen who are, you know, usually gentlemen who are like bailiffs of sorts. Yeah. You think of them as bailiffs. May have seen a juror looking at something that was on the attorney's table, which is not appropriate because, you know, all that the jury's supposed to see is what's been admitted into evidence. They don't want mm-hmm. them to see the attorney's notes and thoughts or pieces of paper or pieces of evidence that the judge rejected and said you should not admit it into evidence. Then also there may have been a juror who was speaking to the press or speaking loudly in the cafeteria where people could overhear or something like that. What we do know is this. It was nothing serious enough that a juror was dismissed, which suggests to me that there was a lack of evidence or it was unclear. The judge sealed that sidebar so that there was no, the public couldn't know what was said. The sidebar is where the judge goes and speaks with the attorneys outside of the earshot of the public.
Right.
So we don't know for sure. Something happened. You know what? I will tell you, that is not unusual for a lengthy trial. These jurors are sitting there listening to witnesses.
Are they sequestered?
No, I don't think they are, as far as I know.
Pretty rare in the federal system,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it never happened in my experience, even with high-profile trials. But, you know, look, they're sitting there all day, sitting, listening to witnesses drone on, looking at all these bank records and documents that are boring, and they can't discuss the case with anybody. So it's
it was reported as mysterious because it went for 5 hours and that, you know, sort of there was this sudden, you know, stop and halt to the court case. But it sounds to me as if it isn't adding up to that much. But I think part of the reason that was the case is that because of this judge reprimanding the prosecutors in that way and all of the hullabaloo that caused. And
right.
Was that fair in your mind? What happened there?
I think, well, certain, look, what the judge did at times was improper. He certainly, first of all, was rude and inconsiderate to treat attorneys that way. And also, at times, he made improper comments. At one point, he mentioned that just the other day that, you know, the prosecutor should get to essentially a bank transaction that was completed. And as a legal matter, actually, the transaction doesn't have to be completed for it to be a crime. And that was charged as a crime in the indictment. So that was a mistake by the judge. There was another time where he commented on the evidence in a way that was improper. But I will say this.
Also, he also admonished the prosecutors
in front of the jury
for bringing somebody in that he'd okayed to bring in.
Right. He later apologized for that in front of the jury. Here's the thing. I just want everyone to keep in mind. I think there's been too much attention paid to that. You know, I tried a lot of cases as a mm-hmm. federal prosecutor, a lot of white collar cases like this one. Judges make mistakes. Judges are a little quirky or acerbic, particularly guys been on the bench 30 years like this guy. That's not that unusual. It happens. It's not going to affect the outcome of this trial. There's a mountain of evidence against Manafort. And if the jury's paying any attention to the evidence, they're going to convict them. And if they have some quirky view that is outside the evidence and there's some one lone person who wants to be a holdout or something, the judge isn't really the one who's affecting that. So I think there's a lot of attention paid to it because it's interesting and quirky, but there's a lot of judges who are acerbic, a lot of judges who want to move things along quickly like this judge, and also a lot of judges who, when they see the government rolling over the defense with tons of evidence and they know the defense is going to lose, try to throw every bone they can to the defense because they know there's going to be an appeal mm-hmm. and they want to like have as few appeal issues as possible.
Right.
Interesting.
So reversible error is mitigated.
Yeah. This way there's defense can't complain. They got all the calls. If you see a team losing by 35 points, you give them all the calls so that this way they can't complain in the end.
Right. So you're pretty confident that the prosecution's put on a good case here. And I think, to your point, it's an excellent one, which is if you have one lone juror or two jurors who just decide for political reasons or whatever that they want to go the other way, and sometimes you just have you know, people who were, you know, always want to go the other way. Everybody has that in their family. They got the one person who wants to fight with you about everything. Sky's blue. No, it's not.
Oh, no.
That's kind of a no. It's kind of a milky white. And all right, shut up. So we'll just have to see what transpires when it goes to the jury. We figure beginning of next week it goes?
Yeah, it's going to go to a closing argument there. And by the way, we experienced in Chicago that lone juror, the first Blagojevich trial. Mm-hmm. Right. There was one juror who held out, and he got a hung jury and a bunch of counts, and then they had another trial, and he was guilty on everything. And it just happens. There's a lot of evidence there.
But the stakes are much higher here. Because this is not, I mean, we thought the Blagojevich thing was the highest stakes imaginable, but it also gave us, you know,
a lot of fodder for radio.
Sequel, which we loved. You know, the first one was a big hit, and then we got to have a sequel, which was not quite as big a hit, like they never are, but it was good. But in this case, it could impact how seriously the anti-Trump people are taken. Here, right? I mean, this has huge political ramifications as we head into the midterms.
For sure. I mean, you already see, I will tell you, I'm not the only one who thinks that Manafort's going to lose, because what you hear from the president's allies are, you know, this has nothing to do with Trump, has nothing to do with the campaign, has nothing to do with collusion. They're already preparing for a guilty verdict.
But if they get an NG here or a hung jury,
oh, for sure.
Then they're going to be doing a big victory dance. Hey, right. Speaking of quirky. May I ask you about Roger Stone?
Oh, gosh. This one, I do not understand what's going on here.
It appears that Roger Stone is in the sights of Paul Manafort for a potential indictment here. They've been talking about that for months.
You mean Robert Mueller.
Mm-hmm. Robert Mueller. I'm sorry. Robert Mueller. Mm-hmm. And so what the question really is, why now for him? Why hasn't this been earlier? Because, I mean, we played this when it happened in 2016, the fall of 2016. He was basically admitting to the Showtime television show, The Circus, that he was dirty trickstering with these Europeans and going over WikiLeaks and the whole thing to get this whole thing done. And he was being very coy about it. And now here we are almost 2 years later, and they're finally getting around to him. And it seems like he'd be sort of a central figure in a collusion case.
Well, you know, I was on a radio show one time with Roger Stone, and I asked him myself why he thought it was a good idea to communicate with Guccifer 2.0, which at the time we weren't sure was the Russians, which it turned out to be Russian intelligence.
Still seemed shady.
Yeah, it still seemed like a hacker. Like, why the heck would you be communicating with this criminal?
Bad guy,
weird, right? And he didn't have a good answer. But I will say that, you know, investigations proceed in stages. You know, just a few weeks ago, there was this indictment that came out of all the Russian hackers. And the funny thing is, some other legal analysts were on television saying, and on print, saying, oh, well, now that Stone and no one was charged in that indictment, no American was charged, that means they're free and clear. And I told reporters at that time, that doesn't mean anything. What it means is that was what they were ready to do at that stage. They charged that people, and then they're continuing their investigation. So he's still interviewing people. We just saw a guy today who's
the associate of Roger Stone. I got to ask you, that's the part I thought you were leading to, because he was held in contempt of court for not appearing before the grand jury in the Bob Mueller investigation. But instead, his attorney now says he's going to challenge the constitutionality of Bob Mueller's appointment as special counsel. I didn't know if someone wants to investigate you at that level, you can just say, well, I don't like the investigator, he shouldn't be there.
But isn't there a 93-page decision by a judge, by this judge, saying that that Robert Mueller has standing here?
Yeah, so there's already that judge is one of three judges who's decided that Bob Mueller is acting within his authority. That has no chance of success, but he can challenge that all he wants on appeal, and frankly, that's probably good
just
for
buys
everyone.
Time, right?
Yeah, buys time. But look, what I will say is this: you know, he already challenged it and he lost. But what's interesting here to me is, if this guy had his own criminal liability, if he didn't want to talk because he wanted to save himself, he'd just take the Fifth.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he's not taking the Fifth tells me he's trying to protect somebody else. It's probably Roger Stone. And that's interesting. Why is this guy so determined to protect Stone that he's willing to spend a lot of money in legal fees to challenge Mueller or whatever he wants to do?
Why do we have to have the New York madam involved in this? I mean, I love the fact that she is. It's kind of fun because she's, you know, she's got the facelift, and then when you see her on TV, you always wonder, was she a call girl too? Was she not?
You always have that,
like, in your own head, you're like, I wonder what's going on there. But what do we make of that? What is that all about?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. I tell you one thing about this presidency: we have such an interesting cast of characters who are involved here, right? So, you know, Stone pals around with her. You know, the president's getting recorded by Omarosa, right? We just found out today there are tapes that Omarosa's made.
She claims to have.
Well, no, the Washington Post apparently listened to these tapes. They claim that they've listened.
That The Apprentice has them. I don't know that she has them. That's what she was told, that someone at The Apprentice contacted her to say these exist. And he did say the N-word.
She taped people in the White House.
Oh.
She was literally around the White House with like a tape, with her phone or tape recorder or something, taping her fellow aides at the White House. Apparently, Josh Dossie at the Washington Post listened to these tapes and confirms that they match the book. I don't know. But it's crazy. The fact that we're talking about Omarosa, the Hollywood madam. What a presidency and what a time that we live in.
And Roger Stone.
And Roger Stone, who is himself.
Crazy Roger Stone, who no one has taken seriously since 1975. Since 1975, and all of a sudden, now he's like one of these guys. I mean, it's like,
it's ridiculous.
It tells you that, you know, Donald Trump was an insurgency campaign. He didn't really have a structure around him. What was fascinating was how many of the think tank types and some of the other periphery conservative groups, both conservatives and liberals, have these kind of periphery groups. But those are the ones that once they started to get a sense that he was going to talk their language, they jumped on him thinking, well, at least he's a good platform for us. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he became president. And that is part of why we're getting the extremity here of the you know, what he says and some of the people that he surrounds himself with, because these are people that the more mainstream GOP, mainstream Republican and conservative groups didn't want anything to do with. Roger Stone being a perfect example of that.
Right, and Paul Manafort. Paul Manafort, if you look at the evidence in the trial, it shows the guy was dead broke, but he decides that he wants to work for the Trump campaign for free. I mean, that makes no sense, right? Unless he's trying to monetize that, obviously.
Yes.
In some way, he's probably thinking to himself, this guy is worth a lot of money. So either way, probably good to be his friend or whatever he was thinking.
And the apples will fall off this tree. All right, we got to run. Renato Mariani.
Thanks, Renato.
See him tonight on Cuomo.
We'll
primetime on CNN. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Let's check in now to find out what's happening with the news at the top of the hour. Here's Judy.
A lot of pot growing going on in Illinois.
Violetta?
Traffic.
Whose traffic is brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. Sorry. It's a Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WTN.
I was going to ask if you watched your beloved Bears last night.
I did. Oh, God. We'll talk about the standby. That's coming up later this hour. Oh, God. Oh, God. Big deal. really, you know, when a couple weeks ago when Lou Canales was in, I've been very excited about them. Because, you know, with Trubisky and all that, I feel like they, I mean, this team could be 8-8. You get a couple lucky breaks, they could go 9-7, they could even go 10-6. They got a shot at maybe the playoffs. And then I watch them yesterday, I'm like, what? Oh, hell no. My entire fall is screwed up now because I don't know what's going to happen to Ohio State, and I definitely know what's going to happen to the Chicago Bears.
Already in the preseason, you're giving up.
I know.
Gotta love the life of a Bears fan.
I know. It's like, it's bad. Hey, I just want to mention this, though. Judy Pylak. Judy Pylak's making a personal appearance.
Yeah, I love a personal appearance.
Please don't come. Stay
just
away.
You.
Everyone else, please
he'll
come.
He'll make it real personal.
Hey, if you don't mind, I'd like to stop by. What are they paying? $50? What are they paying? my quote used to be 75.
Just don't take a picture with him, Judy. You know, sometimes they try try to make a move.
What are you going
to
put some records on and places?
In fact, I will.
Just that I needed a goodwill appearance.
You know what? It's been a cruel, cruel summer, hasn't it? Yeah, that's right. You know that's right. Beautiful day, though, right now. 79 at O'Hare on WGN. That's how I called, though.
It's 78, so you're not too bad.
The 79
today.
Worked today.
Yeah.
Because it's always 79.
He just keeps guessing.
I don't really.
He doesn't know. He doesn't care. You wait. You wait to see what he does in December.
And he won't be there, just so we're all clear.
Oh, I think you should go.
No.
He has a cowboy hat and everything.
He'll be the one leaned up against the wall outside the front door smoking a cigarette.
Right, in a satin jacket and a cowboy hat.
I feel like he shops
Goodwill.
With a handle, with a briefcase that's one of those old handle, like fake leather briefcases. Right. You know, like on a hard side where you snap it open. You know, and then inside.
What is he keeping there?
He's got his headphones, a bottle of Jack Daniels, and a revolver.
Oh, just in case.
Three things you need.
Ew. Not welcome at Goodwill.
So I see here that Judy is going to invite you to a back-to-school party. You get to meet the Goodbye Girl, Judy Pilot Goodwill Store, Donation Center, Glendale Heights, Saturday from noon until 2. Go straight to the head of the class for less at Goodwill. One lucky customer will win a special student study suite that Judy has created from amazing Goodwill finds. Don't forget, located at 543 North Avenue.
Well done.
That kind of came up on me right there.
I know, but I wonder what the temperature is at O'Hare.
79.
8 to 78.
He can't hear you. He's got bad hearing. That's the other thing, is he can't hear anything. He does everything by what's the clock that's on the board in front of him.
He's not a listener, really.
No, not much of one, no. 543 North Avenue, that's in Glendale Heights, I should point out.
Lots of free prizes.
Yeah.
Glendale Heights does a nice Goodwill. They do it nice.
It is pretty good. I haven't been to that one yet. And that study suite is fabulous.
Wait, there's more to this, actually.
The study
suite? But wait, there's more.
There is more.
For a limited time. You can get two for the price.
Wait, hold on. Wait, there's more, but I gotta wait. I gotta wait for. I gotta wait for the right appropriate.
For the
thing.
Tunes.
Yeah.
One lucky winner's going home with radio DJ guy.
Oh God, that's not a lucky winner, because he'll move right in.
Make himself at home.
Maybe got a couch or something I can stay on for a while. Yeah. Spin the wheel of prizes. There could be a registration to win even more prizes, including a $25 store gift card, family four packs. Yeah, it's a 60-minute jumps at Sky Zone, original premier indoor traveling park.
He loves giving away those family four packs.
Yes, he does. There's no such, even though he's never been able to keep a family together for very long.
He wouldn't know what they were.
As a typical DJ, he's not good with the family kind of thing. Yeah, number of ex-wives, ex-girlfriends.
I can't imagine 2018 would be kind to cheesy DJ radio guy.
I like to refer to them all as old lady, because then I don't have to define between a wife and a girlfriend. She's my old lady, my ex-old lady.
Maybe broad. You throw a broad in there once in a while.
No, that's sexist.
Oh. That's over the line. Yeah. Even for radio guy.
Yeah.
That's
any
broad.
Kids, radio guy? Any kids running around?
Oh, I'm sure.
Probably got a four pack. Sweat it out every Father's Day.
Here's a four pack of kids for you, radio guy.
I know I got a lot of bills.
Door.
I got a lot of child support. I had no idea if I got the kids, though. My lawyer tells me I do. I gotta tell you something, though. Every once in a while on Father's Day, I do get some cards, but I can't read them because I'm slightly dyslexic. Like Huey Lewis. Oh, the late, great Huey Lewis in the news. On WGN. What am I doing right now?
Isn't Huey Lewis alive?
Didn't Huey Lewis die? Didn't he just die this year?
I think he did. We're going to look
at that. Or did I kill him?
No. Yeah, I think Radio Guy just killed Huey Lewis.
Did he kill Huey
Lewis?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure he's dead.
Pretty sure he's dead.
And it's 79 at O'Hare. You got all the facts from Cheesy Radio Guy.
Wikipedia says he's alive.
Listen, Cheesy Radio guys who became talk show hosts and people get facts from them and think about the facts that they're getting from those guys. And they're like, oh, yeah, no, I heard it because the guy on the radio told me.
There was a story about him. Was he sick? I can't remember. Let's see.
There's something about him. There was something.
He had hearing loss.
Oh, he's hearing loss.
He's dealing with hearing loss.
Oh, I'd rather be dead.
I think he's alive.
Age 68. Yeah. Still alive.
Still having a good run.
Yeah. He's 68 out here.
He looks like a real partier. Oh, yeah. He maybe partied with DJ Man.
Oh, definitely.
There.
Backstage, just right up his alley.
Oh, I backstage him a few times. Yeah, I don't tell you something at that Merrillville Star Theater. Ooh, boy. If those walls could talk.
Tell you something I like the Oregon. And not just that Oregon. This Oregon. Right here. Huey Lewis in the News. 79 degrees and O'Hare.
I want to hang out with the radio guy.
He just can't help himself. Do you know? So he just like is incapable of not. He just has to have a record to talk up. He's just got to have something to do.
I wonder what he does at parties when the music's
oh,
playing.
Oh, God. You know? John talks over it.
Got sunglasses on inside for sure.
Yep. Cowboy hat, sunglasses.
Want to see my revolver?
Yep.
Just always packing that cigarette.
Fry boots and boot cut jeans. Old boot cut jeans.
Yeah.
They're but stiff. You know, like almost like cardboard stiff jeans.
Satin jacket. Satin jacket.
Yeah, he used to have a members only jacket, but he lost it in a bet.
Mm-hmm. Those came back in style, it turned out.
Yeah, that's why he doesn't have them anymore. Yeah. Went back
Wouldn't
to the satin.
That.
Yeah.
In a backroom poker game, he lost it. It was that or his revolver. He wasn't giving up the revolver.
That's life or death, baby.
That's the night he lost his car keys, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's yeah. He lost a lot of things that night. All right. So anyway, Judy, the point here is that Judy is going to be at Goodwill. Isn't that how we started this whole thing?
Yes.
Yes, in Glendale Heights tomorrow from noon until 2. And it's going to be great. All kinds of great stuff. And I don't know. Yeah, see, Judy's figured out a way.
Mm-hmm.
Judy actually outfitted a bunch of stuff for us at a Goodwill.
Yes. Our old green room was done entirely.
You can do anything using Goodwill. It's all about recycling, upcycling, being green.
And Goodwill does nice stuff with the money they make, right?
Oh, absolutely. They train people to work.
Yeah.
Put people to work, yeah.
I'm really shocked that you're involved in such an amazing organization.
Really? Because I am kind of amazing.
Judy, you know what I need? A headboard. If they have a headboard,
let me
know.
Absolutely they do.
Keep an eye out for me.
Sure. Would you like a cushy one, a hard one?
I like a cushy one.
Pink
nice
one.
And comfortable. Definitely
no,
not
I think
a pink
you look like the cushy kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know what you need, Kim. You need a new headboard so that you can get a good night's rest. Because you got sweet dreams are
made of these. What a talent. Am I to
disagree? That was strong.
That was super strong.
I feel like he's used that one before with the ladies.
Want to check out my new headboard?
It's a go-to.
And my revolver.
Yeah, I'd like to know what pistol, actually, is what he says. What would you tell us what happened to the old headboard?
I haven't gotten one since I moved out.
Just never had one.
I've just been looking. They're kind of expensive.
That's the worst. That is the worst thing in the world because you're sleeping and somehow the pillow gets caught between the mattress and the wall and it like it goes down into like the wall crack area and then you wake up and you're like your head is down in the crack. It doesn't make any sense.
I've been keeping my eye out for one, but they're so expensive. So maybe Judy can find a good deal.
Oh, please, expensive. $6.99. How does that sound?
$6.99 we'll take.
Sounds real nice.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Hey, what size bed though? Twin still.
it's a bunk bed.
It's got the Corvette bed frame around it. Like the car
I
bed
love
frame.
Those.
Man, my bed frame.
The Corvette one.
Maybe you can donate that to Goodwill. And
vroom,
get
vroom,
get
vroom.
A big boy bed.
All right, it's a queen, Judy. So
it's a queen. All right.
Yeah,
should have been king.
That's a bad sign when you want to bring the ladies home. You know, you're at a bar and then you're literally
hop
in
my vet.
The Mach 5 bed. You know, that's just that's not
with
good.
The Spider-Man sheets.
Yeah,
it's great.
Well, my mom, you know, it's like I just moved in and it was in my room, so I'm getting a new bed though.
Comfortable.
Yeah.
Uh huh. We have several texters very upset that we tried to kill off Huey Lewis.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
They're proving, they're showing photographic evidence. I'm seeing that he is still alive. Still alive. I got some pictures here that people have tweeted me.
Every once in a while, I make a mistake.
In fact, don't trust anything he says.
Like every time you say the temperature.
One of these days, it will be 79.
Just makes you sad. Thinking that maybe... put a guy in his grave a little early. 79 at O'Hare. I don't know where I'm going, but I sure know where I've been. Always makes you cry a little white snake on the box.
White snake makes you cry?
Oh, it's your life story.
Where do you begin?
I don't know. Oh. Where does it end, really? And when does it end? It should end right now with Judy telling us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the news.
A longtime Inglewood activist has died.
And Violetta's got the WGN traffic being brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Ro Concho with Anna DeBlantis, yes, right here on 720 WGN. Kevin Powell is our sports king.
He is.
Speaking of kings, we've got the Garlic King of Chicago coming in.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There's a Garlic King. He's going to be here for the Canarble Wagon.
Does he grow garlic? Or
I don't know. I just want him to bring alcohol to kill the to cut the garlic.
I feel like he's very lonely.
Oh. Avoiding the scent.
I love garlic.
I love garlic, too.
Me, too. Never get enough
Me
of it.
Five.
Love a little garlic on a Friday.
What,
I wonder
good
what
way
kind
to
of food he's
going to
bring. I like those
peanut butter
nuts.
And jelly. You've never had it like this before.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now, let's just hope it's not a train wreck like last night's Bears game. Now, I know it's the preseason, Adam Hoge. I know I'm not supposed to expect anything. But for the 10 plays or whatever it was, where it was the ones versus the ones, where it was the Bears starters versus the Cincinnati Bengals starters, you know, I don't consider Cincinnati Bengals to be world beaters. I really don't. They're not. I don't consider them in like the same league as maybe the Los Angeles Rams are now, or the New England Patriots. They don't really kind of rise to that level, and yet it really looked like the Bears were like a high school team taking on an NFL team. I'm scared.
Yeah, they weren't really good last night. There's no question. It's a really small sample size. Allen Robinson wasn't playing. Jordan Howard wasn't playing. Taylor Gabriel, who the Bears just signed, wasn't playing. Everyone around Mitch Trubisky was pretty bad, so I'm really not making any conclusions on Trubisky's performance. I mean, when you have a former first-round pick drop a ball on third down, I'm talking about Kevin White.
Mm.
You had 57 seconds into the game. Kevin White, cue it up.
All right. Now,
ouch.
I got to say, though, that when that happened, Kevin, of course, you know, he's in the other studio and he's watching this while he's also got the microphone on to be talking to us. And there was a moment where, we're talking about something totally different.
Uh-huh.
And then I hear in my ear, as he's doing the interrupted feedback into my ear, it's like,
Kevin White just dropped a ball, 57 seconds in.
Oh, no.
First drop of the season, not last drop of the season.
Ooh.
Mark it down.
That is all.
Oh.
Yeah.
What are realistic expectations for him, Adam?
Oh,
I know he's going to get every opportunity because it was Ryan Pace's first round pick. What are you expecting from Kevin White this year? Just to stay healthy, I guess, would be a somewhat of a miracle for him, right?
Yeah, but I'm not worried about it. I have not been worried about his health. And the reason is the Bears already replaced Kevin White. I don't know if people realize it.
Right,
but they're
not relying on him. Yeah,
they spent a ton of money on Allen Robinson. They spent money on Taylor Gabriel, and they traded up in the second round to add Anthony Miller. I mean, they spend a lot of assets on wide receivers, which you don't do if you're counting on another guy in Kevin White.
So, which is why he was playing in the first
that's why he's getting reps. Yeah.
Yeah, he played the whole first half. Anthony Miller was taken out like after the first quarter. So that tells you the depth chart right there. They value Miller more than Kevin White. So in terms of expectations, I don't care about his health. I've been trying to figure out if he can play wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah.
And so far, I haven't seen any of that in practice. I haven't seen any of that in games. Last night didn't help. And I think we are actually at the point, guys, where it's not a given that he's going to make this team. He needs to turn this thing around here in the last three preseason games. And really, it might only be two more opportunities for him to make the team.
So you think there's a chance that would happen? That Ryan Pace wouldn't keep his first pick ever as a Bears GM on the roster? You think it's come to that point with him now?
Well, that's kind of the wild card in all of it is like, okay, it was his first ever draft pick. What's the sentimental value there? But if Ryan Pace is doing his job correctly, you cut your losses at some point. And I think the biggest thing working against Kevin White is he provides nothing on special teams. And you need your fourth, fifth, sixth wide receivers to contribute on special teams. So if he's not doing that and he's showing nothing in the preseason, this was just one game, so he's got a couple more opportunities here.
I got to stop you.
They're going to get rid of him.
I got to just stop you. He's not a whoopee. He's not like your kid's first teddy bear. You're going to put him in a shoebox and put him on the top of the shelf.
Yeah, you're right.
There's no reason to hold on to this guy. If they let him go, explain the financial hit for them if they let him go. Is there one?
Well, of course. He's on a rookie contract, which means the money's all guaranteed. So there's no really cap saving here by letting him go, which is another reason why maybe they keep him for a couple weeks to see if he can do anything in the regular season or keep him for depth purposes if, you know, God forbid, Allen Robinson goes down. But, again, if he's showing nothing and he's giving you nothing on special teams, yeah, you're paying him the money, but at some point you need the roster spot, so you just cut your losses and move on. I'm not saying we're there yet, but right. I think it's definitely part of the conversation.
And all of a sudden, the Bears receivers last year worse than football. I'm not going to argue with anybody about that. They were pathetic. But all of a sudden, Ryan Pace has given the receiver spot some life with some of these signings. So I think there's depth there at the receiver spot. One of the guys, Adam, that stood out to me, and look, it's a small sample size, as you said, but James Daniels, that lineman they drafted from Iowa, he had some center reps. And, man, there was a play that stuck with me. I believe it was against Geno Atkins, who's one of the best defensive tackles in all of football. And
He was eating them alive last night.
But James Daniels at the center spot got beat off the punch, and he battled back and ended up pancaking his guy on the goal line. Where does he factor into the offensive line? And I was kind of surprised to see him getting centers.
A lot of attention to detail on the line there. Very nice job, Kevin.
Yes.
That's his job.
So left guard or center, I was surprised. I thought he was kind of going to be fighting for that left guard spot, but he got most of his reps at center last night.
Well, yeah, and he did because the Bears have, like, no other centers now.
God, so. Oh, God.
He brings such optimism.
Other than Cody Whitehair. Cody Whitehair is right now their number one center.
Oh, don't bring up his name, because every time you bring up Cody Whitehair's name, I just hear Ed Obradovich yelling at me, Cody Whitehair! What's wrong with Cody Whitehair?
Yeah, those guys are not a huge fan of him. I think Cody Whitehair is a starter, though, in the NFL. We've always battled on that with our Sunday conversations after Bears games. But
well, you should put him actually in the position he was drafted for! Cody Whitehair!
And usually there's some table banging that goes with that, you know?
Yeah, a lot of grunting and groaning.
This is where I'm already starting to have a gripe with what the Bears are doing, because James Daniels played center at a very high level at Iowa. And the night they drafted him, Ryan Pace came out and said, well, we're going to play him at guard. And
alrighty.
If you remember Cody Whitehair's rookie year, he spent the whole training camp at guard, and then they signed Josh Sitton the week of the first game, and they said, okay, now you're going to play center, even though you didn't practice there at all, leading up. So he's literally a rookie making his first start playing a position he's never played before and hasn't practiced at. I mean, that actually happened a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So I just think that eventually we're going to be at the point where James Daniels is the Bears center and Cody Whitehair is the left guard. So instead of messing around with this whole thing, why don't we just start that right now here in practice going forward and make sure that it's set and ready to go week one?
Adam Hogue, activist reporter.
Yeah, I like that. He sees things and he calls them out.
Yeah, exactly. That always goes over
well. Can I ask one question, though, about Roquan Smith, the only unsigned draft pick at this point? I know we're not supposed to panic. I know everyone's told me it's not a big deal. It's going to get signed. It's going to get done. But it's not done yet, and now we're in preseason, and I thought he was this instant starter. You want to start seeing him out there, don't you? Isn't that valuable to a player to be out there now playing with the team that he's a rookie member of?
Yeah, you know what? I'm officially – I don't know if it's the panic button, but I'm okay if people are starting to get – I'm starting to get really annoyed by the whole thing.
Getting late.
Here's the thing. Everybody looks bad in the situation. And we're at the point now where him playing week one against the Packers not playing week one is a real possibility, which means now you're letting this situation affect whether or not you win or lose games, because he's good enough to make a difference right away in the first game. And if he's not ready or if he's not out there, then that's hurting your chances of beating the Packers week one. Yeah. And that's counterproductive here. The Bears can't afford to let that happen. And on the flip side, Roquan Smith really can't afford to let that happen. He needs to get to practice too. So what they're quibbling over right now with the language in the contract is so insignificant and so irrelevant. It's all about future precedents and future players. It's not really about this team, this player, and this season. And one of the sides, I don't care which one it is, just needs to end this. because it's hurting the team now. And everybody, the agents, the players, the team, everybody looks bad.
All right. Can we talk about the defense? The defense didn't look quite as bad as the offense did, which kind of scares me, because this is—I mean, you know—the defense last year was pretty good,
top 10 defense.
You know, you had pick six. I like when the pick six comes off the receiver who's falling on his back, and the ball bounces up and into the hands of the defender. It's one of my favorite plays in all of football. And you had one of those. You actually saw there. You know, there's some signs
Leonard
of life.
Leonard Floyd made a nice play with some pass rush there,
and when Rokon finally shows up to work, my guess is that it's going to be a good addition to what's already kind of a strong thing. And again, it's preseason. There was a scrub-a-palooza after the second quarter, essentially about halfway through the second quarter. So you can't take too much away from that. But the starters looked okay. They looked sharp.
Yeah, and the areas where they didn't, the backups were in there. I mean, remember, he showed you why they need Roquan Smith out there, because John Timu is a backup and he was out there starting at the inside linebacker. Danny Trevathan wasn't playing. That was a weakness in the game. Marcus Cooper, who I still cannot believe they brought back, the corner from last year that made all those boneheaded plays.
He was your favorite player last year, Ro, the guy who got cuffed from behind after he was running into the touchdown and fumbled at the 1 yard line.
Oh, yeah. Brutal. I mean,
that guy got torched last night. I cannot believe he's still on the team, and I don't think he's going to be on the team when the regular season starts. So the weaknesses on the defense last night are not concerns to me.
Right.
The starters played really well.
Yeah, actually, the starting corners look good.
Oh, that's
good. Yeah. So, I mean, that was okay. Yeah, then Marcus Cooper, God, I love him.
How is he on the team?
How is anybody going to live that down? That, like, internationally, people don't even understand football around the world. They were showing it in China, and they're like, take a look at this guy.
Yeah,
it was bad.
That was the number one blooper from last year, I think, across the entire NFL.
Oh my God, ESPN made some. It was like number one for three consecutive nights.
Such a bad
right on SportsCenter.
So bad.
We had this meeting with NFL referees in Bourbonnais, and there were some team officials in there as they showed us this video that they showed all the players, and that was one of the plays in the video. And
just all the refs making fun of players.
It's like, this is kind of awkward.
Yeah. Or how about, like, for the next 100 years, from the time kids are 8 years old until they retire as NFL players, they will be shown that every year, you know, in a training camp film session, things not to do.
Hang on to the football.
Right, and run through the play, like, until the whistle. Whatever, whistle to whistle? Doesn't anybody remember whistle to whistle?
Back in my day, we had whistle to whistle, snap to whistle.
Right. We had, whistle to whistle. I mean, you had to concentrate, and snap to whistle, and you had to run through it.
And 10 seconds after the whistle, really.
Right. Although now you get penalized for that. When the whistle blows, you're supposed to sit down and start to assume downward dog position and then write an apology letter to the guy that you just tackled. I hope I didn't hurt you.
Exactly.
And then hope you don't get fined by the NFL.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's really going to be something. We just downgraded them. We were at 8-8. I just downgraded them to 5-11 based on last night.
What's next, Adam? They're in Denver all next week, right? Stocking up on a season supply of medicinal marijuana.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, which the NFL still hasn't made legal. Yeah, though they practice against the Broncos Wednesday and Thursday. I'll be there the whole time, and then they play the game on Saturday night next week. So a whole week in Denver could get dangerous.
Well, actually, it's good because it's harder to breathe in Denver, especially this time of year.
All those Bears beat reporters, all the time on their hands. What are you guys going to do, Adam?
Yeah, really.
Cover football.
Just what you always
nothing
do.
Nothing else.
Yeah, we're going to call him next week. Like,
These Bears are great. They're really looking good.
Mitchell Trubisky is like a bunch of different colors. Do you ever think in color? All right, thank you.
Have fun, my friend.
Is it hot in here? It's really hot. I'm really hot.
You took the molly, bro.
Oh, no.
Stick to the weed.
All right, thanks, Adam. Good luck. Have fun. We'll talk to you then.
Bye.
See you, man. Okay.
Adam's like, I'm not talking about this.
I know, he's not.
My wife's listening.
Nor the bosses.
It's a business trip.
It's
all business.
You think our bosses care about that? I don't think so. I've met our bosses. First of all, they're not listening. And two, if they were, they're like, we're with you, man.
It's all right.
Get some. Bring some back, man. Sneak it on.
All right, let's see. What do we got here? We got Judy. She's got the WGN News headlines. It's coming up at the top of the hour.
A Northwestern University professor out after misconduct allegations.
Oh, boy. The Go Cats. Here is Violetta with the traffic. Is it the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis?
And Richard Roper and Jaxie, the cutest dog in the whole world, just stepped into the studio. So sweet.
I don't know if we're supposed to say that, but okay, yes. Yes, he is.
Could be a...
He's a cartoon dog.
Yeah.
Cartoon robotic dog.
Yeah, he's not a real dog. No.
We're not...
It's not a real dog.
No,
we don't have real livestock.
He wasn't just at the Swiss Hotel saying hi to everybody there. That didn't happen either.
It's a dog drone.
That's what it is.
Get
some
like
babes
that.
With a dog like that.
You know what? I don't know. I'll be honest with you.
Sensitive.
I gotta be honest with you. Yeah, you get right. See, now this is so the play against type move I have ever seen Richard do. I've known Richard. We've known each other 30 years.
Yes,
and you know, Richard was never kind of known as the, you know, the sensitive,
sweet, sensitive
kind
guy,
of like
but he's always sweet.
He's like the kind of guy with the cable knit sweaters. Like,
not that guy.
Hey, let's discuss our feelings.
And now, skull decor.
Yes, exactly. Right. Yeah, exactly. Sort of, you know, notoriously the single badass kind of, you know.
Yeah, with a big heart and all that. But you're right. You would not picture this.
No, not him. With a teacup poodle.
Hey, listen. I know the last dog I had was a long time ago. That was a Japanese Akita, which looks basically like the dire wolf on Game of Thrones. You know, so he would walk me.
Yeah, right.
That was more in keeping with the exactly Roper persona.
But there are other female members of the team now paying attention to the puppy dog. So. It's
actually Violetta's on the floor now. She's crawling into the puppy purse that you brought.
I thought she was saying hi to me that way. And I was like, finally, she's warmed up to me.
No, she didn't say hi to you.
At all.
She
went like,
right by
who's the good boy? I'm like, Rich is. Rich is a good boy.
All right. So, well, we listen. It's 5 o'clock. We're gonna have the weekend. We're gonna do a top five. It's gonna be fun. But we got weekend stuff happening. We got the Carnarvon wagon rolling. The king, the garlic king of Chicago, is going to be here.
I cannot wait.
Nice.
Who knew there was such a guy?
Oh, I know.
It's not Abe Froman.
What's the slogan?
Sausage.
You smell me before you see me on the Garlic King.
We will talk.
Can't go wrong.
Talk to the Garlic King.
Can't wait.
Here for the Carnarvon Wagon, and hopefully they're bringing nice stuff. And one of my favorites, Lonesome Still, is going to be with us.
They're so good.
Making their, I think their second appearance, or is it third appearance on this program?
I do remember the last one.
And we have the new WGN studio. I like to call it Studio G. From where the music comes from, and it's built as a music performance studio.
It's amazing.
And this band is the perfect band for it because they've got this big broad sound.
Yeah.
They've got a massively great drummer. They've got a stand up bass. They've got they're really all fine musicians. So it's like this is what you want to stay tuned to hear. And a little bit of a little trick if you want to hear it in the highest of fidelity, this is a good opportunity for you to check out either listening to us on an app or your smart speaker at home that gives you the straight up fidelity of that.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
Yeah, you're gonna hear some really great
old
stuff.
Old school outlaw country band is how they
love that. One of the musicians who was here a couple of weeks ago actually I heard saying that they had been in radio stations around the country, had never been in a studio so well designed with such great acoustics, and of course the amazing engineers and everybody else that put everything together. They were really impressed.
Pretty special, isn't it? We're very lucky to have it.
Yes. Before we get to the top five, I just need to ask this question.
What's that?
What is Violetta doing in our studio?
She's
as opposed to being
not
on the radio by her microphone.
She's not doing her
she's
job.
She's walking
at the
around.
Why would you think there'd be any traffic at a Friday in August at 5:14?
She's
trying
in
to
another
get
studio
in or out of the city
where she monitors the traffic and then she reports on the traffic.
Typically that would be the job.
And she's walked into the studio and she's like doing some like an Insta story in here. And I'm
well,
like,
what the kids
this
do.
Is like the most millennial thing I have ever seen.
And she's dressed like I Dream of Jeannie all week. I've noticed that has been the look.
Lakeshore Drive. Is it? Are you showing the gridlock on Lakeshore
that's
Drive?
That's what she's doing. Yeah, that's what she's doing.
Very traffic focused.
Oh, yeah.
Actually,
oh, yeah.
She's petting the dog, the drone dog.
She's playing with the dog. You should not have brought the dog in because it distracts the kids.
Yeah, he's kids these days.
Very cute, though.
Would you tell your sister to go back to work?
Back to work. Actually, she's making me look good.
Yeah, really. Kevin's always been the good one.
I know. Kevin,
I'm where I'm supposed to be. No big deal. Right.
There she goes.
There she goes.
There she goes.
Goodbye, Violetta. Yeah. Good talking
get
to you.
Get back to
thanks
your
for
position.
That. Thanks for that yeah. traffic update. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's all going well. Don't worry.
Okay.
Friday. Long week.
Right.
Yeah.
I know. And the people, like, they you know, she was on Channel 9 this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And people are calling me, oh, she's so cute. She's so adorable. Oh, look at her. Oh, she's on your show. That's great. I'm like, oh, God. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. You put up with her. All right. What do we have here? We got this.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show. Five. Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, we will. Checking in, man.
Number five.
Okay. Now, this weekend, the Chicago police would like to make it a much safer weekend than last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't kind of have all the crazy stuff going on with Lala and everything else. They're going to focus on things. Mm-hmm. Not that they don't always focus, but they're going to. The commanders here are going to redeploy teams of police officers into areas. And they have a new strategy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a new strategy, but they're going to enforce this longstanding strategy of theirs, which is to break up unauthorized gatherings using the loitering laws.
What's
because you can get on a street corner, you can get 40, 50 people standing around, right? Blocking traffic or just standing in front on a corner in front of a business or whatever it is in parts of the city. And this tends to be the genesis of the mass shootings that we're seeing here. When we say mass shootings in Chicago, we mean something different than they mean everywhere else around the country. Right. These are this literally, I mean, this is you got 20 people standing on a corner and then two guys in a car come by and try to shoot everybody and then drive away.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. That's why we had almost 80 people shot last weekend because of things like this. Here's Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson.
What they're doing, such as drinking, amplified music, smoking weed, you know, those types of things, littering, all of those things will factor into how we gauge it.
Okay. All right. I like when the police superintendent says smoking weed.
Well, he's like smoking.
But what's an unsanctioned party versus a sanctioned party?
There are no sanctioned parties on streets.
Block parties.
Yeah. You'd have to have a sanctioned party with a permit and all that.
Yeah, if you're going to be on the street. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
If not, so large gatherings on the street, police walk in and they ask some questions.
Right. Now, here is mayoral candidate Paul Vallis.
Oh, yeah.
The whole approach has been this violence reduction initiative, which really involves moving officers from one section to a city or even special units from one section to a city to another. There's part of the problem is the fact that they've been short all the retirements and the failure until really about a year and a half ago to really start making a serious effort to fill those vacancies. And it's most telling in the detectives division where they reduced the number of detectives from 1,200 to less than 700. Now they've rapidly been hiring back, but they're hiring back inexperienced detectives.
So you need the experienced guys, you say, in the neighborhoods like that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. And
I hope it works.
And they're trying to bring some of those guys back, you know, for another, some of the guys who've been around for a long time. But, you know, you lose situational awareness, too. If you've been out for a while, the cast changes a little bit.
It does. Mm-hmm.
That's so true. That's
it
true.
Is. But, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Police know. It's like teachers. They know who the bad apples are in the classroom. Teachers know who the bad apples on the street are.
That's right. It's a 20% of the shooting victims from this last weekend were part of these types of gatherings. That's pretty unbelievable. 74 shot, remember. 12 killed. It's. Right. I hope it works.
All right. Checking in at
number four.
All right. Possible 2020 presidential contender was seen today at the Iowa State Fair. Who was it? You're not going to believe this if you haven't heard it yet.
What?
Joe Biden?
No. Michael Avenatti, Stormy Daniels' lawyer.
Oh, I was going to say he has the same name as Stormy Daniels' lawyer.
No, it's him? Stormy Daniels' lawyer now says he wants to be president.
I think I've shown a unique ability over the last 5 to 6 months to take the fight to Donald Trump. And in the event I decide to run, that's going to be a big part of my message. People are not exactly happy about the way the president has disrespected the office. We're going to continue to prosecute this case, and we're going to continue to try to seek the truth and disclose the truth to what happened here relating to the cover-up to the American people.
Oh, gee.
America, I'm speaking to you, as a great late great Bernie Mac would say, America, I'm going to tell you something, America. We are being punked. This whole thing has got to be a put on. This cannot possibly be happening. It's like, how is it that Omarosa and Donald Trump and this doofus are all the three most significant people? And Roger Stone today? I just want you to stop and think about this. And Paul Manafort, who looks like the personification of a felony? How is it possible that these are the people who are in the news and the most significant Americans right now? And actually, the fifth most significant American is Vladimir Putin. How is this possible? We are being punked.
Just imagine some of the slogans he could come up with.
Right, and his running mate, Stormy Daniels. How that could grow.
Exactly.
Oh, boy.
I can't believe this is real either.
Yeah. Really? Can anybody, thank God we never hear or see of Robert Mueller. We just imagine him. He's almost like a religious-esque figure. He's like, it's like we know he's out there somewhere.
Uh-huh.
We just can't see nor touch him, but we know, we hope that he will somehow save us from all of this. And I don't care what your politics are. Mike Pence has got to go too. But put whoever else you want in, whatever Republican I don't care who it is. Pence has to go because he was just too much of a suck-up. But name your next Republican up. I don't care who it is. Put him in. Ted Cruz, fine.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Not him.
Oh, boy.
That's a very good idea. Marco Rubio. I would think Marco Rubio would make an excellent president, actually. I'm a big John Kasich guy. Mm-hmm. I like that now. I know
you
that's,
like him?
Yes, but I almost would take Rudy Giuliani at this point.
Oh, come on now.
Oh, don't take him. He smells funny. Thank you. All right, we'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, let's check in. Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Monsanto on the hook for $250 million in a weed killer case.
Okay. Violetta, are you back in your studio?
I'm here.
Do you have the traffic information?
I do. And I also have Instagram videos if you'd like.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
All right. Top five, and then the Canarba Wagon is going to roll coming up in just a few minutes.
Yes.
Then live music from Lonesome Still.
I can't wait.
I know. It's a beautiful Friday afternoon in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's a lot of fun. I know there's a lot of people on the roadways. We just got Violetta to pay attention to that again after she was doing Instagram stories with Richard Roper's dog, who's made his way into the studio here.
It's Friday.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, let's continue with the top five. We're up to
number three.
Spike Lee was on Anderson Cooper last night.
Nice.
Not that way. He was on the TV show. And he was talking about Black Klansman, which Richard Roper gives 4 stars to.
Yes.
4.
Got to see it.
Not 3. Right. Not 3.5. Not 3.75. 4 stars. One of the best movies of the year. Yep. One of the top 5, you said, so far, movies of the year.
Absolutely.
Oscar contender.
Yes.
Not just in the, it's a blockbuster. Because it may not be a blockbuster, right? It's one of those movies.
Be interesting to see how it does this weekend, actually.
Is it in wide release?
Yeah, it is. And I think the time is right for this movie, that's for sure.
So the story is about a black detective who infiltrates a Ku Klux Klan by convincing them on a phone that he's white. And it's a true story. And you got Topher Grace playing David Duke, who was at that point the head of the Klan. right?
Yep.
And it's, I mean, it's crazy. The reality here, though, is that Spike Lee tells Anderson Cooper that there are some similarities in this true life story from the 1970s to what's happening right now.
Well, that was a plan with my co-writer, Kevin Wilmot. We did not want this just to be a history lesson. We wanted, even though it takes place in the 70s, we still wanted to be contemporary. So a lot of things, phrases, stuff like that, that was said way before the 70s, where they were saying then, and then now you hear them today in the lexicon of politics and, I mean, and these guys in office.
His writer has been a partner of his before, right?
Yeah, yeah. And they're adapting the book by Ron Stallworth, the detective, the real-life detective who's still with us and actually was a consultant on the film as well.
The commercial for this, you can tell the art direction in it is perfect. It really looks exactly really like does. The moment.
The cars and the music and the wardrobe and the hair and all that.
That's awesome. All right, so John David Washington, son of Denzel.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost biblical when I say it like that.
Sounds like Denzel, too. Yeah.
Son of Denzel is the star of this. And Denzel says he just wants his son to be a great actor.
John David went to his first, he was on his first red carpet at 2 years old. Yeah, I think he was 3 years old, maybe. Well, my wife said he was three or four, whatever it was. And he was talking about, my dad's in quite freedom. You got to find that footage. It's got to be, we got to find that. But he wants to be good, and he's doing it the right way, and studying, and just trying to grow as an actor.
Yeah,
that's cool.
John David Washington told me that he had said to his father at one point, well, you know, you with you being my father, how much of a career can I really have? And Denzel said, why don't you Google Michael Douglas and see who his dad was and how he did, all right? Stop whining.
It can work out for you. It really can if you got some talent.
Which is such a great...
That is... Well, that is an excellent example because, you know, there are... in the 1940s to 50s to 60s, into the 70s, Kirk Douglas was, you know, one of the top three movie stars,
huge star,
of that era, and one of the, probably one of the top 10 movie stars of all times. And Michael Douglas done okay.
Yeah. He has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes his dad, by the way, Kirk Douglas, still alive. He's not dead.
No.
Like, unlike Huey Lewis, who I said was dead, who is not dead.
Oh,
yeah.
That was the news?
There's a little bit of a problem I made a little earlier.
Is that Huey Lewis news or ruse?
Very rare factual error from cheesy radio DJ.
All right, checking in at
number two.
Straight out of Compton, crazy mother named Ice Cube from the gang called with attitudes. When I'm called off,
I'm just playing this to, well, first of all, to agitate Donald Trump, but secondly, I'm playing this because that record. Straight Outta Compton, which literally changed music, right? It changed rap music. It was no longer the Sugar Hill Gang. You know, we're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. That record is 30 years old today.
Oh boy,
30.
That's crazy.
Boy, it is.
It's old enough to get a mortgage. How about that?
Old enough to run for Congress.
And just to think, Ice Cube's son plays Ice Cube in the movie, Straight Outta Compton.
Right.
Speaking of sons.
See, that's what's going on here. And that was a great movie, too.
It was.
So there you
August have it. Release. That was great. Yeah.
All right. And finally.
Number one.
Okay. This is a moment.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yes, it was.
Last night, Jimmy Kimmel, Kanye West was on. And... I'm almost at the point, it's kind of a little bit hard, but I'm almost at the point where I'm feeling sorry for Kanye West. Kanye West has had a lot of things go very right in his career and in his life.
Mm.
He's had some tragedy too, right? Losing his mom too soon and, you know, having that. And that clearly did affect him.
Oh, yeah.
But he was, in many ways, one of the innovators. We're talking about NWA and Straight Outta Compton. He's one of the most important figures in rap and hip hop that then turned it to still be socially conscious, but back to musicality, to be less about to, you know, he added strings and did all kinds of great stage performance things, mm-hmm. And made it, you know, an entertaining thing and really kind of dragged it back into mainstream. It's really kind of an interesting, uh-huh. you know, bookend here between those two, between NWA and Kanye. Yeah. But Kanye then gets himself involved in politics, and Kanye, it does not appear, like a lot of artists, they don't always have the most consistent views on things. Yeah. Sometimes yeah. they're thinking a lot more with the emotions of their right brain versus the logics of their left brain. Was that possibly true?
And I said I wanted to design clothes, and then that started working out.
What is next for you?
Well,
Space Force. But you should design the uniforms for the Space Force. Is that something that you would do if President Trump asked you to do that?
I'm into designing.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny? When he's interviewed, he sounds like Urkel, right?
Yes.
I mean, he doesn't sound like this. You know, that muscular
no,
kind of
true.
Like...
When he's yelling at the paparazzi, you're right. A bully! You're a bully!
Or on stage,
yeah.
The president.
Yeah. Very different.
He started back here.
Yeah.
What was it like when he and Kim went to the White House?
Was that something that you discussed with her before she did it?
Well, she's super passionate about it, and it was amazing for her to see that dream come true.
Were you ever concerned about her being alone in the Oval Office with President Trump?
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Well, he is a player.
Called that one out.
Right. But then there was this. Now, you got to remember Kanye back in 2005 after Katrina, and they did that mm-hmm. big television event to benefit Katrina
yes.
and raise money for the Red Cross and all
that.
Wasn't
he on stage with Mike Myers at the time?
Yes, and he said this.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Right.
It was Mike Myers was like
that was the last time we saw Mike Myers.
Yeah, he literally clammed up forever.
There'll be no more Wayne's Worlds, no more Shreks. That's it. I'm done.
Go on camera again.
That was great because Mike Myers does look like he was like in a hostage film at that moment.
Yes, he did.
Where he saw the truck really sliding was. Into. He's the passenger watching the truck sliding into the car. But I always thought that was a ridiculous thing that Kanye West said. But now Kanye West is a big Trump guy, so Kimmel asks him.
His actions are really what matter. I mean, you so famously and so powerfully said George Bush doesn't care about black people. It makes me wonder what makes you think that Donald Trump does, or any people at all. Why don't we take a break? We'll come back and Kanye West.
Oh, yeah.
Kanye had nothing to say.
Because he just froze and he looked like he wasn't going to answer that question.
Finally, the truck was sliding into him for a moment. He kind of looked like up and then to his left, like trying to think of what to say.
Yeah.
Mike Myers sitting somewhere in Canada. Aha! It took 13 years, but finally, you know how I felt.
All right. Wow. All right, let's close this thing up.
The top five at five.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here. I want one bourbon, one shot, and one beer. One bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
Tastes great. Makes women appear more attractive and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life, and I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it. I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
I'm just tired of white people telling me what to do.
Wow.
Tired. With my own money.
Uh-huh. Well,
that's the next mayor of the city of Chicago right there.
With my own money.
He likes us, though, Ro, he says.
He does.
Really?
Loves you guys.
We're
him.
One of his favorites.
I love him, personally. But all of a sudden, I'm like, what did I ever do to you?
I was kind of hoping that white girl crying was going to make the open for the segment.
I miss
but
her.
But Willie Wilson's another great option as well.
Sure.
I missed the thoroughbred.
Actually, you know
very
what?
Pretty thoroughbred.
You have two of the, that's like the alpha and omega right there.
Right.
That's the polar opposites.
Yeah.
Those are the two best things because you got Willie and then you got... The white girl who was too pretty to go to jail.
We've all been there.
Okay, she's been there. Yeah. Violetta.
She really does every week.
Well, I mean, listen. When you're trying to get out of something, you'll try anything.
Don't you know it? All right. Listen. We don't have time for this. We've got royalty in the studio.
Yes, we do.
Yes, the garlic king of Highwood is with us, Scott Baseman. I'm not exactly sure what a garlic king is, but we're going to find out
he'll
in just a second. And Mo Coleman, he's a bartender. Mm-hmm. He's really the most important man here. You know, it's like,
he really is.
Like, thank you. Thank you very much.
It's like when you get on a plane and you find out there's a doctor on the plane with you. You like that? When in a radio studio, when you find out there's a bartender, then everything's going to be okay.
All's good.
Flight don't you think if your name is Mo Coleman, you're going to be a bartender pretty much? How you doing? Mo Coleman.
Hey, Mo.
Bartender.
Thank you very much.
All right. And you're at Alex's Washington Gardens. That is... you're a vendor at the Highwood Garlic Fest, right?
Correct.
Eighth annual. Eighth, because that means that they did this seven other times, kids.
Yep. Exactly.
Seven other times.
I missed this. This sounds fantastic.
Now, let me just ask you this, Scott. Garlic King. How does one become the Garlic King?
Well, there's a competition at the festival. You have 1 minute to sell your stuff and tell why you will make a good Garlic King or Queen. Mm-hmm. It's garlic royalty. I'm the first Garlic King of Highwood in the 8 years. Mm. And then that person becomes the spokesperson for Celebrate Highwood, which is a great organization.
Highwood, I just got to tell you
something. I know.
We are a happening place.
I just
place.
Love it. Yeah.
My whole life I've been going to Highwood because my dad, we used to go up and use Fort Sheridan when it was a military base. That was basically my summer camp. He would take me up there and drop me off at the pool. Mm. And then he would, I don't know what the hell he would
He'd
go
do. Something.
He would go to the officers club.
Yeah,
or
he'd meet Don Draper for drinks basically somewhere.
There was an officers club on the beach too.
Wow.
They had a beach and they had a little, shack that had one, like, two bar stools were officers, and then two bar stools were, non-coms.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of, I'd go play on that beach, and you'd go into the water, and you'd come out with shotgun shells on your toes, and there's excellent.
That's right.
You put your foot down in the water, and
you
the water was
crunchy,
green.
Like seashells.
No, it was like that's the thing. I never forget that I came out, and I literally had a shotgun shell attached to my toe.
That's very true.
You're
it
not
happens.
Supposed to swim there.
Yeah, well, back then, no, but the military, they didn't care.
I know.
The military families.
People still swim there.
Well, at military base, I've always wondered about this, especially from, that era. I mean, I didn't grow up in a military base, but the kids who were growing up there I'm surprised that they didn't have two heads, there was so much.
Some of them might.
Oh, there was so much, waste, like crazy stuff. We were in the water, and you'd step on something. There was something really sharp under there, because they would assault the beach. They would have the guys from Great Lakes, Marines would come up from Great Lakes.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And they would assault the beach at Fort Sheridan.
Like a military drill?
Yeah, as a military drill.
Yes.
And they would leave stuff in the water. And then I'd be stepping on it.
Oh boy!
It was weird. It was I remember my raft hit this thing once, and it was like that scene from Jaws, where all you have is the flat raft with a gigantic hole in it. That was it.
Good golly.
Then we'd go to dinner in Highwood.
It's the best.
And Highwood is, right there. It's north of Highland Park, south of the base there, south of what is now, it's now Fort Sheridan. It's now a residential area. But it's like five blocks of some of the, it has been for 50 years, some of the best food in Chicago area.
And we're going to have a lot of those vendors at Garlic Fest.
Correct. It's a big little town is what it is.
Yeah. It is. As a matter of fact, I was just eating there a couple weeks ago. I was just driving there. I was coming back from Wisconsin, and I thought, I got to just stop in Highwood. That's what you just got to do.
Have you ever stopped over at Washington Gardens?
Yes. Well, yes, of course I have.
Oh,
I'm going to say that right now. Yes, of course I have. And, you cannot go wrong, right? I mean, it's a great place to be, and it's really fun. And, most people have to walk home from Highwood.
Mm-hmm.
It's not suggested that you drive in or out. The guys who invented Uber invented it for Highwood.
It's the Highwood people who are really behind Uber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you're from Highland Park or from Fort Sheridan or Lake Forest or Deerfield, you're just allowed to Uber in, and then you don't really remember the ride back out.
Or
that's
you walk.
What I can tell you. Or you walk. Yeah.
One of the best pumpkin festivals anywhere in the world, too. I just love Highwood, too.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but, I was actually too drunk to walk one time, so I just drove. No, I'm just kidding.
You're actually not allowed to say that.
We just say that.
Come on, Mo.
It's a little
come
it's
on,
a
Mo.
Bartender
Mo.
Joke. That's all.
I'm glad you guys have been sharing all these memories while I've had half a Bloody Mary.
All right, let's talk. Well, let's talk. Okay, first of all, just explain the why we have a garlic fest.
We have festivals all over Celebrate Highwood. So we do an LGBTQ fest. We do a taco fest. We have Inferno fest. We have Nashwood coming up. We have the Pumpkin Fest,
Nashwood,
which you mentioned earlier.
Nashwood is a big deal, too.
This is our second year with Nashwood.
Yeah, it was a gigantic hit last year.
Yeah, there's a festival every week. But the best thing about Celebrate Highwood is it's, you know, they're managed and run by volunteers. And all of these festivals kind of adopt a national or local charity and donate money back in.
Very nice. As the Garlic Fest king, do you have rival royalty from some of these other fests? Is it like Game of Thrones?
It is a little cutthroat. Okay. You know, you have to be very careful.
So your power is garlic, yeah, which probably is stronger than anybody else's power.
That's right. It's more than Superman.
Okay, so you made a garlic martini. Let's just get...
There's a garlic martini?
There's a garlic martini.
Do you want one? It's right over here.
Dang.
I do need to... Oh, no, I have one here.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. I got to sip
just
that.
Take a sip of that.
I'm a big garlic...
Yeah, well, yeah, you're gonna, if you love it, you're gonna love it.
Oh wow, it's fantastic!
Isn't that fantastic?
It's also an aphrodisiac.
Why is that so good? That
I don't
delicious.
Know, but it changed my whole world.
Hey, Garlic King, can I just tell you something? Every martini is an aphrodisiac.
No,
but
no,
garlic,
this one.
It's special.
The garlic hits you right before you have your first sip.
It does.
There,
you smell
right?
it, and that's
yeah.
Oh,
that's
and
nice.
Going,
and then it makes you a little amorous, doesn't it?
Wow.
It's an aphrodisiac. Is garlic an official aphrodisiac?
It's good for your heart. It lowers your blood pressure.
Right. He's the garlic king. What do you think he's going
to
say?
Well, of course. I mean, I'm asking. I wanted to hear that answer anyway, so it didn't matter if it was true.
It's like Highwood's aspirin. It's a cure-all for everything.
Yeah, that's nice. Right. I just wonder how many times on a Sunday morning the sun comes up over the lake in Highwood and there's like four guys sleeping, you know, wearing like really expensive shoes and watches and, you know, like those like whaling shorts, and they're just face down and they in Highwood.
And you wake them up with the clove of garlic.
Yeah,
it's
true. So way to go.
I feel like I could take on any vampire right now.
Yeah.
All right,
any
so
werewolf.
Let's talk the other drinks here. These are all from Washington Gardens, right?
Actually, that is not correct. We have here this garlic martini, which is a roasted garlic-infused vodka martini with roasted stuffed garlic olives. That is from 210 Live, which is basically where the old bowling alley was in Highwood.
I did a charity event up there a couple of years ago.
Yes.
That was, and it's that's a great room. That's a great, great room. Max Weinberg.
Yeah.
And
that's great.
Yeah.
That was that big event.
I remember that.
It was
a big deal.
What an amazing opportunity to see Max Weinberg and his band, you know, like playing there, and you're like in this room. It's like somebody's
like the jukebox that he does, with his band. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Very cool.
All right. Okay. So that's from them. All right. Okay. Now, what is this thing that's
fantastic?
It's a little too fruity right now because I just had the garlic, so I don't know how to quite mix that, but I'm going to try it anyway.
That would be my famous Motai.
This is you.
This is the Motai.
Yes. And that is a blend of Caribbean rums along with a medley of fruit flavor, not to be confused with the competition for infringement
rights.
Oh,
that's
rights.
Nice. Okay. Look at Mo.
Look at Mo go.
Mo, before he was a bartender, apparently was an attorney.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That's got a nice... I like the flavor.
I'm also an ordained rabbi as well. So.
Who isn't?
I'm just kidding. That's another bartender.
Yeah.
Mo watches The Simpsons and just takes notes every week for 23 years.
And then,
do you do that phone call trick where they're calling...
Oh, that's the best.
And where's the bloody from? Where's the bloody from?
That is actually ours as well.
Okay.
That is a gazpacho Bloody Mary, and that's why we you the larger straw so you can...
It's like the bubble tea straw, right? So you can scoop up all the veggies that are in there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's like breakfast
and,
in a cup.
That gazpacho we have in the summertime at Washington Gardens, obviously seasonal. You can get, I think, a cup or a bowl of it anytime
it's
in the summer.
Delicious. All
right. Okay, so it is August 15th? Is that
August 15th.
That is next Wednesday. It's Garlic Fest. Meet the Garlic King. Go out. Have a great time.
I have to get rid of my crown next week.
Oh gosh. That's going to be a sad day.
It is sad. You can only win once, but I'm forever the 2017 Garlic King.
Meghan Markle will take it. You're good to go.
Yeah.
All right. We got to run. We got to go. Thank you, Garlic King. Thank you, Your Highness, for being here. Mo, it's great
to see
you having us. Thank
go
you.
Go see
Thank
Mo
you.
At it's not Mo's Tavern, although that would really be funny.
That would be
else
fun.
Alex's Washington Gardens in Highwood. Anything in Highwood. You cannot go wrong.
Well, the Wednesday night markets is where you can find me. We have a tent out there, so and we represent Washington Gardens.
Thank you, sir. Let's talk to Judy. What's coming up at the top of the hour? Actually, it's Eric Rung in for Judy. Eric! Oh, my God. I thought Judy got so pretty. All right, sorry.
And in a lot deeper voice as well.
Yeah.
Weed-killing company will have to pay $250 million. We'll tell you why coming up at 6 from the WGN Radio Newsroom.
Violetta? I think that sounds like a record, but it isn't. That is a live band right there in Studio G.
Dang.
The live performance studio here at WGN. That is Chicago's best old school outlaw country band, Lonesome Still. And, wow.
That's good stuff right there.
They got a big fall coming up, by the way. They're hitting it hard mm-hmm. now, these kids. There's only about 40 of them in the band. They're going to be at the Out of Space in Berwyn, which is amazing.
Uh-huh.
Fitzgerald for the 10th anniversary on September 28th there. And then, which is, you know, one of the great clubs in all of America.
Absolutely.
And the Montrose Saloon on October 28th. Yes. And here... right now, and Michael O'Brien is your lead guy. Let me get the names of the guys in here because we're gonna just try to jam through the music here. And I want to tell a little story before we play the first song.
Okay.
Tony Whitrock on lead guitar. You got Q on bass. Michael Q Kiros, he's got the stand up bass. That's the real deal right there.
Oh yeah.
Dave Huizinga, rhythm guitar and vocals. He's a music legend in this town for many years.
Yeah.
Teresa Durda on drums. I got to tell you, she is one of the great badass drummers in all of country music. Why she doesn't live in Nashville, I have no idea. I do not know. Carrie Ream on vocals and Emily Albright on fiddle and vocals. And we say fiddle, we don't actually say, we don't say guitar. Or violin, which would be the right word for it. Yes, not guitar. All right, now listen, I want to tell this story because when we play this song, I want you to just have this in mind's eye thing. So last week they were playing a park festival here in Chicago. Chicago Public Parks have these summertime festivals on Fridays, sometimes Saturday nights, and they bring in live bands and they're playing. And they got booked into it by the Chicago Park District, and we're 100% sure what the park was. They show up, and it's basically it's lovely families on the northwest side of Chicago.
Oh,
with their little kids, you know, maybe, you know, the babies and toddlers and 5-year-olds.
The stroller crowd.
A big stroller crowd.
Always cute when the parents have the baby dancing, holding the kid up and all that.
And maybe the oldest kid was like 10, you know?
And they
do a song, and this is all original material here, Whiskey Shot. Is the name of this song, and Michael O'Brien wrote it, and it's Michael is a fan. He grew up in the South. He's a fan of Johnny Cash. Everybody loves Johnny Cash, but there's also some some old school other
going back like Merle Haggard.
Yeah, became outlaw country, outlaw rock kind of guys that sometimes the stories get a little dark. So I just want you to imagine. I just want you to imagine this song being played, and everybody like moms with their 3-year-olds trying to make them dance to it.
Okay.
Kids, take it away, Michael. Here it is, Whiskey Shot.
Just a whiskey shot away. From forgetting who you are. And ever since you went away, baby, I've been sitting here at this bar. It might seem like a small price to pay. But I'll be sitting here, baby, at the bar.
I could get some peace if I could get some sleep. If I could get you off of my mind.
just a needle mark away. From forgetting who you are. And ever since you went away, baby, well, I've been building up these scars. Well, it might seem like a small price to pay, but I'll be sitting here, baby, and spotting dreams. I could get some peace if I could get some. Just a bullet hole away from forgetting who you are. And ever since you went away, baby, yeah, I've been sitting alone in the dark.
Lonesome Still right there. Whiskey Shot from Studio G. Wow. I want to thank our partners, Shure Microphones, so for helping us put this whole thing together. They are absolutely amazing.
Great.
And again, I just want you, there's your song. Wait, I just want you to imagine,
I have a question.
Moms with three-year-olds trying to dance to that in a Chicago public park.
When he says, I'm one needle mark away from wishing you away or forgetting you, is he talking about crocheting there?
Yeah, that's what they told the kids. Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
And Bullet Hole was I don't know how they explained that to the kids. I honest to God don't know. All right. We're going to come back.
Yes.
Wait till you hear White Lightning. You are going to love this. This is Lonesome Still. They are going to be at Out of Space on September 21st in Berwyn, September 28th at Fitzgerald's. Make your reservations right now. And on October 28th at the Montrose Saloon, lonesomestill.com, or find them, at Lonesome Still on social media. They are just an amazing, amazing, badass, old-school outlaw country band based here in Chicago with some... And it's all original stuff. So stay right here. Let's talk, first of all, Eric, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour news?
The mother of Michael Brown, the teenager that was shot and killed in Ferguson several years ago, is running for Ferguson City Council. We'll have that story and so much more coming up from the WGN Radio Newsroom.
Violetta. All right, here's what we're going to do. Lonesome Still is with us in the in Studio G, live music, brought to us by Shure. Thank you so much for that. And they're going to play one more song on the radio here, and then if you'd like to continue on listening to them, we're going to play for a little while on the stream at WGNradio.com.
Yes. Cool.
Uninterrupted. Excellent. Uninterrupted by anything that, you know, that's going to do anything here. You're just going to hear them, and there might be... They'll play some of their darker music.
Oh, gee.
That was their upbeat song.
Okay. That was a feel-good tune.
That was a feel-good tune. We will, they'll join us doing this on the stream. Go to WGNradio.com or the WGN app or WGN on TuneIn, and you'll continue to listen to this after we go to the White Sox game at the bottom of the hour. All right, Michael, take it away. This is Lonesome Still, by the way. That's going to be October 20th at Montrose Saloon, September 21st at Outer Space in Berwyn, and September 28th at Fitzgerald's. I know that was not in calendar or order, but it's okay. The Carnival Wagon has already rolled. All right, take it away. What do you want to do?
White Lightning.
White Lightning. Music coming with Lonesome Still on the stream, WGNRadio.com and WGN Radio on TuneIn, as well as the WGN app. Eric Rung's got the news coming away in 2 minutes. What would you like to do?
We're going to do one called Angel.
Show.
Jim Still, September 21st at Outer Space in Berwyn, September 28th at Fitzgerald's, and October 20th at the Montrose Saloon. That is all from Studio G. Now back to regular programming, already in progress.